welcome back, friends. Sarah asked, is his poetry that, and that's here we're coming, numbered? And I said yes, and in this critical edition it certainly is. Our setting is the writing of Spain's 1500s. The style is poetry. It's not expository. And therein, there's a caution to both latitude and rigidity. Shakespeare, and I think it's fair to compare Shakespeare's writing, his style, and his substance to that of John of the Cross. I think it's a fair comparison. Shakespeare's written in verse, and I enjoy it. It's probably one of the few fictions that I do, but I do. But for me, it takes a great deal of effort, especially in the beginning, to follow Shakespeare's work to have fruition. If I don't want just some sort of, that's kind of funny or that's kind of funny. But if I really want to kind of understand what he's trying to say, it takes me some work. And it certainly took me a lot of work in the beginning. Same is true for here. John, when I said that John studied Greek, Latin, and classical Spanish, he's reading and composing Latin. He's not a Cicero, but he's expected to write in that kind of manner. It's much more than just going to Latin Mass and kind of following along or singing the Salve Regina. That's not what I mean when I say he was educated with Latin. The same as Greek. Aristotle is quite the thing at that time. And they're going to be reading Aristotle's work, Nicomachean Ethics, and or whatever that might be, in the original Greek. And so too to the classical, you know, the medieval English, right? There's some terms that Shakespeare will use. I should have my big Riverside book of Shakespeare right here because it's yay big and thick. And it's a big body of definitions down at the bottom because we don't always use those terms and that sort of thing. Right. So I think when we're approaching a serious work like that, really take the time to get a good, solid translation and put that work in at the beginning to cultivate the ear and the mind.
Right. Yeah, because when you're, we're being confronted with truths that stand the test of time, right? I mean, so what St. John of the Cross has to say to us is not time encapsulated. It is universal. And so consequently, and I do think that therein lies the challenge, right, of keeping that grace knowledge ever present, ever new. And so when you have somebody who has really done the effort to pull it out into a modern language where they maintain the beauty and the integrity of the priests, you know, we should be very thankful for that, because that's a real gift that certain people have. I mean, you see the terrible debaucheries that are going on with attempts at modernizing quote unquote scripture, right? I mean, we're destroying it. We're not making it. We're not maintaining its universality. We are specifically almost rewriting it to tickle the ears of the modernist, and that becomes a problem. So yeah, when you're going to be, should you want to read St. John's poetry, it's imperative that you can enter into it. Same thing like with Dante or something like that. There's a universal language to that, but you have to make sure that you find authors who are worthy to bear the weight of that translation.
That, you know, you said, Sarah, you said something in passing, and it just, so we, like I said, I like Shakespeare, have for decades, took a college course on it, which was unusual for an engineer to do that. it's very unusual. And there was this real strong period of time where we're going to modernize Shakespeare. The whole problem with people not engaging with Shakespeare is one of them is language. Yeah, there is these cultural idioms. And oh my gosh, you know, it was set in Chicago and Of course, they all had big hair, lots of hairspray or whatnot. In the end, at least until COVID hit, I haven't been to Shakespeare since COVID. They went through that. Unlike the Holy Mass, we're still mired in, we still got to do more new things. At least within the Shakespeare community, they realized they just need to have better actors and higher expectation
of their audience. Absolutely.
And that made the difference.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think the modern world, the modern era is a little bit arrogant in presuming that we always do better. We always know more. You know, that's what I was saying, like before when you were talking about in a couple of episodes ago when you were specifically speaking about depression, you know, that modern doctors, you know, think that they have all the answers. And yet, you know, in 1700 or 1600, St. Ignatius is already talking about the need to be able to discern whether the problem is with the body or whether the problem is with the soul.
Right. That's right. All right, friends. Let's go into practical application. And if we need another show, we'll do that. All right. I think there's a terrible laxity about entering heaven. I think there's a mistake and heresy that is going around that no one really goes to heaven, to hell. And if someone manages to get themselves there, they had to really, 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 really be a bad, bad person, such as a Hitler kind of a person bad. But nowhere in sacred scripture does this idea occur. And our blessed Lord himself said many people are in hell and few make it to heaven. And of course, Our Lady of Fatima that we do shows on showed those three little children the same thing. And the simple reason is that God cannot abide sin. There is no yin and yang, a spot of bad in this the right. circle. Probably good. And we are wounded by original sin. We're very comfortable with bits of bad and good. And so for us to enter heaven, we need removal of all vestiges of sin. And it either happens in this life or in the one to come. But here's better. And the sooner we let God root out unhealthy attachments, even in those of high degrees of virtue, the sooner we can get on with this business of being saints. And that was John's dark night of the soul for him. This profound encounter with Christ set him on the path to sanctity, and that purification was the means for him to get on with that business.
Right. Yeah, and I think that we are a society that will never understand the joy of passing through a dark night of the soul, because we are a society that is rapidly eschewing any type of suffering, anything. If you suffer, we kill you.
Right.
And it's really becoming traumatic, because when someone suffers and you witness it, you grow in compassion, or you ought to, right? I mean, to see a fellow human being suffering, you should want to enter into suffering with them. But instead, you know, we don't. We want to put them out of their misery like an animal, because we have I do think part of it is because we have lost the belief that man is anything particular. And so a horse that has a broken leg, you shoot it, you put it down, which is right and just. One should, because an animal cannot offer their suffering up in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, right, or the cross. Or Calvary. So it's inappropriate to permit an animal to suffer. One should never do that. It's really the height of cruelty. But man is not purely an animal. I mean, man is matter and spirit. And for a person, like I said, an animal does not grow in virtue. An animal can be domesticated, an animal can be trained to do tricks, an animal can be trained even at very, very high levels. but an animal can never decide to be virtuous or to grow in virtue, right? And with this, with St. John of the Cross, you know, when we recognize that suffering that is not of our choosing, right, when it's being put upon us in a manner that, you know, if it was our choice, John of the Cross, I mean, he would have already gone to a different, he would have been a Carthusian and he would have become moderately holy, right? But through the wisdom and guidance of St. Teresa of Avila, he endured much and as a result became so holy, right? That he would have been, what would he have been, St. John, you know, of St. Matthias, and he would have been, you know, maybe he still would have been St. John, but he would not have been a doctor.
That's right. That's right. Without that suffering, that right. Path of suffering that was permitted, we would not be discussing him today, no. 300 years from now.
You know, and it's so crazy how much physical, like, you know, how much physical violence people are willing to do to themselves. You know, they'll run double marathons. You know, they'll lift 500 pounds of weight. They'll climb 26,000 feet mountains. They'll do all of these things, all of this physical violence to themselves. But they won't offer it up for the glory of God. And so consequently, at the end of the day, all of those things are useless.
Yeah, I think so. All right, my friends, that few added thoughts. I do have an addendum of SIN, Catholic News Agency, back in the day. It talks about the different sins and how it's divided and so forth, so on, since I brought that up. And I just put a few quotes in there. Go to the link to see the full list. All right, my friends. Till the next time, be nice, Rocio.